go to the Sticky Fingers hotline and talk to Ron from SportsOverload.com. Hello, sir.
Ron, how's it going, fellas?
Ron, real quick, I just want to call Justin Acre a liar.
Uh-oh.
And Tori is not happy with him.
What happened?
You were going to play something special for her.
I did.
You did?
Yeah, I played it in my office. I gave her the unedited version.
Oh! You were in the office with her?
And Shelly.
Oh, okay.
They wanted the unedited version.
Oh, I thought you were going to play it on air.
Believe
I apologize.
Me. Can't play it on air.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah. Can't play that on
Ron,
air.
Ron, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing all right. How's it going?
Good. I've already been tricked into saying Brett's name, so I'm not going to make a big deal about it. But I'm trying to. I promised yesterday I would not play any clips. I would not spend a lot of time on it. But, of course, it does warrant some attention because reports came out yesterday, and then they were reported again this morning that he's going to retire, and then he talked to Ed Werder and said he hasn't made a decision, and now he's talking to Mortensen, and Mortensen tells people that he says that if he's healthy, he will play. If you build it, he will come. So, what in the world? I mean, it's so embarrassingly pathetic.
You know, I agree. I mean, there's no reason to spend all day talking about it. You know, I appreciate that, you know, given not pounding it all 3 hours like every other show does, Justin. I appreciate it. You're doing your listeners a service by not just talking about Brett Favre all day.
All I know is this. As far as retirement goes, three's a charm, I hope. And I love Brett Favre. I'm not going to hold any ill will. I've been back and forth with him. Obviously, I used to love him. Then I kind of hated him when he left. But then he went to the Jets, and I didn't care. And then he ended up in Minnesota, and then I kind of hated him again. But then I couldn't help but appreciate the effort and the performances that he put on there. Now I'm sort of indifferent. You know what he's created? He's created apathy in the Brett Favre fans, for a lot of them at least. And it's like, it's so tired and old. Now it's like, I don't even worry about it one way or the other. I could care less what he does. I could care less if he plays.
He's tired and old.
I could care less if he comes back. I could care less if Sage, Rosemary, and Time Fells is the starting quarterback in Minnesota, or if it's Tavares Jackson, or if it's Brett Favre, the other dude that they mentioned in the paper today that I've never even heard of before. So whatever it is, I'm indifferent. I am completely apathetic when it comes to Brett Favre's future in the NFL.
All right, and that's something I kind of am curious about, because other great athletes, Michael Jordan went and played for the Wizards for a season. You had Joe Montana finish his career at the Chiefs. But that was soon forgotten a few years later, and they're thought of as, Jordan thought of as a great Bull, and Montana thought of as a great 49er. Has Brett Favre, gone back and forth too much, switching teams and retiring, unretiring, to where even 5 to 10 years from now, it's not something we'll just easily move on and forget about?
Did Jordan have any good moments with the Wizards? What was Jordan's best moment with the Wizards?
They didn't do anything.
Did he have any big games or anything?
I think he dropped 40 points.
I think he had a couple games where he put up 30 to 40 points, somewhere in there, but they didn't make the playoffs. They really didn't do anything memorable as a team.
Like, Montana was pretty solid in his year in Kansas City that I remember.
Right. Well, I'm just saying he played there for a little bit, and it's something that, 49ers still look highly at Joe Montana. It's not like it tarnished anything or how the fans appreciate him or anything like that. Same with Jordan. Whereas I feel like Favre's done enough to where it could have, like you said, make fans like you that used to be a Brett Favre fan now just grow tired of it. And
Favre to me is, he's been overrated his entire career.
You're talking.
He has been.
Get out of here.
He won one Super Bowl. He's the greatest quarterback ever.
Ted Williams never won a single World Series. Is he a bad hitter?
No, but that doesn't make, that doesn't make him anything but the greatest hitter ever. One hitter.
Okay, well, you can make the argument that Favre's the best quarterback of all time. Statistically, most touchdowns, most yards, most everything.
He's played 100 years.
So did Ted Williams.
He fought in 2 World Wars.
God bless him.
And he's going to start a third one. He's got no head.
Anyway, moving on. Pat, your Celtics are looking at Shaq. What are your thoughts there? Are you feeling good about that?
He actually fought in 1 World War, by the way.
Right? I mean, listen, the TD Garden there, North Shore Center, whatever they call it, pretty close to South Boston. All the Irishmen are going to love it. You got 2 O'Neals playing for the team now.
Well, it does look like, the Celtics are really gearing up for one last run, this coming season. And then...
Wait, run? You mean more like elderly stroll?
Right. They're trying to make one last playoff push this year, maybe next. But the thing is, it's shaping up to where a couple years from now, it's going to be pretty rough in Boston again, just because there's a lot of aging veterans here.
I know. We should have kept Tony Allen. Dang it, he's such a young...
I really want Shaquille O'Neal to stop, drop, and roll to the other end of the court every time.
Stop what?
Stop, drop, and roll.
Are you falling? I can't get up.
Oh, it'd be awesome. That's just me, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, what else? So what do you think? I mean, does that work?
I think it's, you know, I think it's fine. I think the Celtics are trying to load up. I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see how the Heat roster fills out. But I think right now I'm not yet ready to say the Heat are the best team in the East or in the NBA. I still feel like Orlando and Boston are still, you know, right there in the mix, and it's going to be close depending on what the Heat do the rest of the offseason. I still feel like the Heat have a long way to go because they still haven't really – they need some guys that are going to play defense. You know, they need to figure out how Wade and LeBron are going to play together. I know they say it's going to be, you know, hunky-dory and lollipops and everything, and they don't mind sharing, but I think it'll be harder to do that once they both actually get into the season. So I still feel like Miami's not just like – we should just not just anoint them yet. I still feel like the Lakers, Magic, and Celtics are up at the top and should be considered ahead of Miami at this point.
How about your boy Patrick Beverley? I know you saw that he signed a contract.
Is he coming to Milwaukee?
Miami Heat.
Yeah, the Heat.
Oh, the Heat. They're drafting him in the
– Yeah, they end up going back with him. Pat Riley's got a good eye for talent. I love Pat Riley.
How'd he miss on you?
I know Pat Riley, sir.
And you're.
Well, that's good. That's good. Beverley got a shot. You know, he's been doing good things over in Europe. Kind of surprised. Didn't he get drafted? I want to say he got drafted in the second round.
Mm-hmm. Say it.
A couple of years ago, and they held on to his rights.
They saw something in that character for sure.
Yeah, it was curious. The question is, you know, whether he could develop into a point guard because, you know, he was such a great scorer. You know, kind of a combo guard, but at 6'1", he needed to develop into a point guard. So I guess it took him a little bit of time overseas to develop into that, but it looks like he's done it. So,
how many people do you think are going to take Clint Stern in the fantasy football draft this year? Did you hear about what he did over the weekend?
I did not. What happened?
He got a call from his former Arena League football coach, who now coaches the Alabama Vipers. He went out there. I guess it's been, what, 3 years, 4 years maybe since he's played? I'm not sure.
No, not even three, I don't think. Yeah.
Probably right at three.
Couple
then.
Years, yeah.
Couple
two and a half,
years.
Maybe, yeah.
Went out there, threw seven TDs.
Uh-oh.
Seven of them.
And if he'd thrown seven interceptions, it would have been very Brett Favre-esque. But instead, he only threw one.
Hey, well, there you go.
More Peyton Manning.
That's going to be a great I mean, think about it. We talk about Favre. We talk about Jordan.
And Clint Sterner. I mean, we talked about everybody.
Yeah. Sterner's comeback.
What about who is your fantasy guy? What are we looking at fantasy now?
Well, I just put up my fantasy football running back preview.
Okay.
And I kind of wanted to – I did my preview a little different this year instead of just fluffing out. You know, some people just fluff out 1,000 words about should I take Chris Johnson or Adrian Peterson number one. But really, that stuff is just kind of – it's not really going to help you. That's not going to make the difference whether or not you win your league or not. It's really more your draft strategy and knowing all the guys in the later rounds and the sleepers and all that. So I tried to – this preview really focuses on the, you know, the things you really need to know, the real insightful draft strategy and that kind of thing. And not, I could try to cut out all the fluff and get it straight to the most important things that you really need to know to win your fantasy league.
Who's a guy that's going to rush for 1,000 yards in 2010 that nobody would predict?
Wow.
Nobody would predict.
That's a lot of pressure.
Very few people would predict.
Well, I think you're looking at some sleepers. I think the guys that you forget about is a guy like Fred Jackson at Buffalo. You know, T.J. Yeah. Spiller is going to be more in a role of – Fred Jackson was a 1,000-yard back last year, but because they drafted T.J. Spiller in the first round, who's still holding out, by the way, he's going to be used more in a Reggie Bush-type role where he returns kicks, lines up as a wide receiver. Fred Jackson's still going to be your red zone touch running back and still going to get the bulk of the workload. So that's a guy that nobody really talks about that could still get some touches. As far as a sleeper, Montario Hardesty, that got drafted by the Browns, Jerome Harrison finished the season strong last year, but he's more of a speed back. I could see Hardesty emerging as more of an every down back, and I don't think you would draft him in the second round if you didn't plan on him being an integral part of your offense next season, and the Browns don't really have a lot of other weapons. So Hardesty would be a super sleeper that could emerge as a guy that could have a great season that could go almost undrafted.
You like that, Pat? Pat's looking at pictures of Ryan Mallie. He's very excited.
Well, I do have to make a comment.
No, please don't. What do you? What's your Arkansas prediction? I know you picked him in the top 20. What's your record prediction?
I would put him somewhere in the ballpark of, you know, around 9-3 in the regular season. Probably somewhere close to 10 wins.
Okay, you have to pick 10 or 8. What are you doing?
10 or 8.
If you have to pick 10 or more or 8 or less, what are you doing?
Go on, Run.
No, I mean, 9's the over-runner. I mean, 9's easy. 9's a safe, comfortable, easy pick. It's laying on your couch and watching TV pick. Yeah. I want to pick out on the ledge. I want to pick that says 8.
Well, then I would have to lean 10 more than I would say 8.
Really?
I would say if you include the bowl game, I would say, you know, we'll definitely go above 8.
I'm not counting the bowl game. I'm talking about the 12 regular season games.
So you're saying 10 and 2. All right. All right. Well,
10-2 or 8-4?
We're going to go 4-0 in the non-conference.
Okay.
And then our...
You're 100% confident they're going to beat A&M?
Yes.
Okay, me too.
A&M will be better. I do like them. But I still feel like they're going to go 4-0 in the non-conference, probably at least, and go 3-1.
They're
going to
be
at home.
They're going to be better, but A&M will be better, but Arkansas will be mo better.
Right, I would definitely agree with that. And as far as looking at the SEC slate, I mean, outside of the game against Alabama, I feel like the other games are winnable. At Auburn will be tough. Those are the two losses that I would look at, and then I think everybody else on the schedule is beatable.
Yeah. If they can split Georgia and Auburn, and they can, and you know, everybody's assuming they're going to lose to Alabama, which I'm not 100% confident on that either.
Well, actually, I feel like that's a good upset spot right there. I wouldn't say Alabama is unbeatable. I feel like we could beat them at home just because I feel like it's a good time in the season. They're breaking in a new defense. If we get the offense rolling, I don't think Alabama wants to play in a shootout. So if we get the game going how we want it to at our place, I think there's a chance for that to be an upset.
Yeah, my thing is that, catching them early is a huge, huge factor for Arkansas. And you know what? I know he's got guys that can play, and I know the guy's an unbelievably great defensive coach, maybe one of the best in the last 20 years, but maybe the best in the last 20 years. But he's still got guys who haven't been there, haven't played in that kind of environment, who haven't really had a lot of snaps in that situation and are trying to defend the best offensive team in the SEC this year. I don't think that's any kind of over-the-top statement. So that's a great thing for Arkansas. I think Arkansas has every opportunity to beat Alabama. But I think splitting the Auburn-Georgia combo is still a significant achievement.
Right, and I wouldn't throw out at South Carolina. I mean, that's a tough game that usually the home team has won.
South Carolina blows. I'm so tired of South Carolina. He's
never
going to
win at South Carolina, though.
I know. You're totally right. I remember Matt Jones throwing a pick late in the game that felt like it was already over anyway. Arkansas has not played well down there. But South Carolina blows. Come on, man. I'm so sick of them. Everybody's like, they're going to contend for the East this year. Come on. They're terrible.
I'm not saying they're going to contend for the East.
They got
a couple of
nice specialty players. That's it. They're terrible. They're never going to win anything over there. He can't win there. He's proven it.
Right.
They're not winning.
This should be a 7-8 win team, but playing on the road there, it's not a game you just chalk up as an automatic W. We're the better team, and I would picture us being probably a 3.5 to 5.5 point favorite
in
that game.
That week.
But still a game that we could lose.
I'm going to be a total cocky jerk that week. I mean, I'm not.
Wait, is that any different?
More than usual. I mean, but
yeah,
I just
even
don't,
worse than normal.
Yeah, worse than normal. South Carolina is so pathetic. I mean, I'm so sick of that. They're like, this is going to be the year. Spurrier's going to get it. How are you going to win big over there? Garcia's going to figure it out this year. No, they're not. They're not. They're not. They're not. They're terrible.
Now, Florida's still the class of the East, and then you still got Georgia that people don't really talk about. They're kind of.
What's your thinking on them? Because you know what? There are two distinct caps on Georgia. They're like the third favorite to win the SEC this year. They're like a 9-1 favorite, which is like the third best odds in the SEC in Vegas. Then other people think they're going to stink as they replace the Scarlet Assassin at quarterback. But they do have 9 or 10 other players back on offense. And they've got some back on defense. And everybody likes Rick. Everybody respects him as a coach. And the guy's just a winning machine over there. But there are a lot of people who think they're going to stink this year.
Well, I love the running back situation with Caleb King and I think it's with Sean Ealy. So they've got some great backs. A.J. Green's the best wide receiver maybe in the country.
Right.
The defense, it'll depend on how quickly they can transition to a 3-4. If they're able to, make that transition successfully and not hit any bumps early, which is another reason that's good Arkansas plays them early because they're switching to that new defense. But as far as the total season, I think that's really the key is that switch to the 3-4. We know they've got athletes. We know they get great recruits every year. So we know there's talent there. It's just if they can put it together and, in the right structure to make that transition a smooth one. Because I feel like they still have the talent. And I feel like redshirt freshman Aaron Murray is going to be fine at quarterback. I feel like he's going to be in a good position to be successful, with the running game he can rely on and a big target like A.J. Green. I don't feel like he has to go out there and be Superman for Georgia to win games. So I still feel like Georgia can be successful this season. The defense would be more where I would look to, where I would have concerns.
All right. Man, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Later, Roman.
All right, see you.